Did Bob McCowan just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Look up. Look way up. He sits alone atop the standings. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, another Monday. This one, the 30th of November, 2015. It's Primetime Sports on your radio and on your television set. I'm Bob McCowan. Greetings. Salutations. Phone calls are the order of the day. 870-0590 if you're in the 416 area code. 1-888-666-0590. Toll free across the country, star 590. If you got to sell, the calls cost you nothing. We advise you to call in early if you want to get on. If you just want to sit on the phone for an hour and not talk, wait a minute. The topics, as always, are yours to choose. Anything you wish to discuss. On the program today, Bob Nicholson, the CEO and vice chairman of Oilers Entertainment Group, will join us in studio. Nick is in town with the Oilers, who will face off against the Maple Leafs tonight, two sad sack teams. Playing Alphonse and Gaston, you take it, I don't want it. We'll find out what is going on in Oiler land and how the new vice chair and CEO feels about his hockey team being in last place again. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe will join us. Football talk. Greg Zahn of Sportsnet. Haven't talked to him since the end of the season. We'll get his take on the signing of Jay Happ and other things that might be to come. And Raptor analyst Paul Jones will join us as well. Ken Reed, co-host today. 870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Here we go. Erwin is in Toronto. You're first today, Erwin. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm wondering what you think of, with the acquisition of Happ and Chavez, do you think the Blue Jays are going to run the course with them and just try to hit their way to a position like they were towards the trade deadline and then just try to acquire a pitcher that they might not have to get for 5 to 7 years and try to go that route, or...
Well, obviously, I don't know what their plan is.
Very speculative.
But I said last week, one of the things I said last week was, there's an alternative to spending $30 million on David Price, and that's to spend $30 million on two middle-of-the-rotation starting pitchers. And the Blue Jays acquired one of them in Jay Happ. It cost them $12 million. If you think they had $30 million to spend on a starting pitcher, they still have $18 million that they could spend on somebody else. Now, do I expect that to happen? Probably not. But do I expect them to get another starting pitcher? 100%. I absolutely expect them to go out and acquire another starting pitcher. Whether it is through the trade route or through free agency, I don't know. I also think that Davis is, and I've mentioned his name repeatedly since the season ended, would be an interesting acquisition. But it would be... In order to acquire Davis, you have to have made decisions on Encarnacion and Batista and also be prepared to move somebody and maybe two somebodies off first base. Smoke, Colabello, Encarnacion, as a general rule, can only play first base. If you bring Davis over, while he could play left field, you've got candidates out there already. I think his best position would be first base or DH. And you could rotate guys, I suppose. But I believe the Davis acquisition, while a free agent acquisition, would almost mandate that you move at least one and maybe two guys who currently are listed as first basemen. That would be in the trade market, and probably you'd go out and get another pitcher, preferably a starter, but possibly a bullpen guy. So there's still lots to come. I don't think we're at the point where we start evaluating the offseason of the organization or the prospects for 2016. Still too early to do that. Dan in Oshawa, hello.
Bob, how you doing?
Good.
I got three questions to ask, and I try to make it really short.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both Shapiro. One is this cat, is he able to pull the big trades that need us to be put over the edge to do like what Anthopoulos did? My second one is he going to sell any assets, or do you think he's going to sell any assets to replenish the vital farm system that he so desperately apparently wants? And the third thing is he going to be able to use a budget probably double what he had in Cleveland? Thanks a lot, Bob. I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answers.
Well, in fact, the answer is I don't know, I don't know, and I don't know. I mean, you're asking me to evaluate somebody I've never met or haven't met yet. I talked to him for 15 minutes on the phone. I know a little bit about him from his days in Cleveland. I know his long-term reputation in baseball. But it is a different organization with a different mandate and a different budget. And to assess how a guy who's been working at one level adjusts to working at another level is impossible to do. We have to wait and see. Furthermore, you are, all of your questions are under the presumption that Shapiro is the de facto general manager, which he might be, either now or in the future. But I don't know that to be true. For example, I'm not 100% sure who did the Jay Happ deal. I'm pretty sure Shapiro was in on it, had to approve it. But do I believe Shapiro was the guy who went out and got him? That it was his idea? That he did the research? No. I think it far more likely that LaCava did all that. But I don't know. Will this guy make trades? I would think he will make trades like any other general manager would. Will he sell assets to restore the minor league system? If there are assets that he can acquire with extra parts, however they are accumulated, and those assets tend to be minor league assets, sure, that's part of the scenario. But, you know, your presumption seems to be that he would be more inclined to build the farm than maintain a winning attitude at the major league level. I'm not convinced of that. And as for budget, we don't know what it is, and I can't even comment on how he's going to spend it. Frank in Toronto, hello. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Frank.
Hi.
Frank's here.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
go
Bob.
Right ahead.
I'd have to just say that last statement you made about Shapiro, his track record is pretty thorough in Cleveland, and if you read what the Cleveland writers think about him, it's pretty thorough. Shapiro took over a pretty good organization in the 90s, tried to go to his fantasy baseball routine, and basically it blew up in his face, to paraphrase, it blew up in his face. And he got the general manager job taken away from him. He got kicked upstairs. They brought in a guy, and he had no decisions in baseball. And we seem to be going down that exact same path. Takes over a good situation, decides that he's a better scout, better guy, can figure it all out fantasy-wise. Didn't work out in Cleveland, and I don't think it's going to work out doing that here. My question to you is, Bob, is I don't understand why you think that good hitting is going to overcome good pitching when, in fact, we saw exactly the opposite of that against Kansas City. We had the best hitting. We could not get a guy in from third base. We've gone out and signed for $12 million. Last week you talked about if we could just get two middle-of-the-roaders, you know, around $10 million. You saw what you get for $10 million. You get a Jay Happ, a guy who can blow up at any time. Yeah, he had good 10 good starts in Pittsburgh, but his track record is not that good.
Well, I'd rather have a guy. Well, it's a lot of negatives in there. Thanks a lot. I mean, well, don't like anybody, do you? I'm not going to make a decision on Shapiro until, well, somewhere down the road. And I don't think anybody should. Do I have concerns about Mark Shapiro? Sure. But my concerns are I don't really know what he's going to do or how he's going to act. And is he going to be Big Brother? I have concerns, but I'm not going to judge him yet. As for Jay Happ was among the best pitchers in all of baseball in the last 3 months of last season. I would much rather have a guy who pitched well in his last 10, 15 starts than a guy who pitched well in his first 10 or 15 starts and then blew up. Duh. So, look, I think Happ was a serviceable pitcher when he was with the Blue Jays. There were people didn't like to see Jay Happ go. I would have been fine if he'd stayed. And I've got no problem with them bringing him back. If you're going to point to offense, well, the team, I didn't make this team. But this team is the most powerful offense in all of baseball. It's not even close. No one, everybody else is second. No one's close to the amount of offense this team can generate. If you think any offense is just going to score runs at every opportunity, every time, you don't know baseball. Was it disappointing? Was it unexpected? Of course it was. But it happens. And it doesn't mean it's all of a sudden wrong because you didn't get a guy in from third base in the most meaningful game of the season. Eddie, you're on primetime. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I just think my problem with Shapiro right now, or actually with baseball, it seems like everybody's looking at Kansas City and, you know, you can get by with the mediocre starting pitching, but everybody forgets about how strong their bullpen was. I mean, any team with a bullpen like that, sure. And the kind of pitchers they're getting now is going to determine whether guys like Bautista want to re-sign or we can attract other star players. And I think it's a rebuild in the making, in disguise.
Again, negativity. You're entitled to that viewpoint. I don't share it at all. You know, the problem is, you guys, you fans have all been spoiled by what Alex Anthopoulos did the last few months and the acquisitions that he made. And you don't want anything less than the best at every position. Well, it doesn't work that way. No team ever has the best at every position. What you want to do within the budget, whatever the budget is put together a reasonable group of starting pitchers to complement the kind of offense that you have. This is an offense that averaged 5.5 runs a game. Is there any reason to expect they will be less efficient? No. Is there a reason to expect they might be more efficient? Yes. Tulowitzki didn't hit for much. You expect more from him. He's a middle-of-the-order guy. Pilar is, in my view, a guy who needs a few adjustments, but is capable of being a 300 hitter with some power. Martin had a decent season, but not great. Goins may or may not be emerging as an acceptable offensive player, which is to say a 250 hitter. Not great, but a lot more than I think we'd take. So there's room for this team to be even better offensively. Remember, starting pitching, while it can be important and is important in a general sense, any individual starter is only going to pitch every fifth day. Do you need a guy to go out there and give up two runs a game? I don't think you do. I think you want reliable, consistent, middle-of-the-rotation kind of pitching. And I think the Blue Jays have that in four of the five guys. Who the fifth starter is going to be, and there are candidates already, I don't think has been determined yet. I think they're going to get somebody else. Benjamin Thornhill, hello.
Hey, Bob, I just want to preface my comment by saying I actually really like the Hap, the Chavez, and the Estrada re-signing. You're looking at Hap to replace Mark Burley, which is something that I think he can do. I don't think he's going to get the 200 innings for you, but I think he's going to get... He's a solid fourth mid-rotation kind of guy.
Well, he's also a left-hander, and that's important.
So, who's a left-hander, the rotation definitely needed that. I think any of our pitchers will be better than what, you know, Hutchison produced last year, which was brutal, to be honest with you. So I think if you're looking at the end of the rotation, I think we're solid. Whether Dickey's here, whether he stays or goes, that's another issue. But, you know, I'll just say this, though. I like the rotation. I think the rotation is better than it was last year. But in August, when the Jays were kind of heating up, I was actually playing poker with a Rogers employee. I won't name his name. But nothing was really settled with the GM. I took his money, by the way. And nothing was really settled with the president, Ken C, of the GM positions. And I asked, you know, I asked him, what do you think is going to happen to this Alex Anthopoulos situation? He says, well, you know, I really feel like it's possible that Rogers could screw this up. And I said that's impossible. There's no way after everything that's gone down. I just don't see it happening with Alex Anthopoulos' family. And sure, we look today and this is a situation. I don't have anything against Shapiro. In fact, I'm actually looking forward. I'm kind of interested to see which direction he goes with the team, how the different direction. But my biggest concern, honestly, and it's always been this concern, is we've had Paul Beeston on the show quite a few times, and we've always heard that the revenues, the budget's tied to the revenues. And it would just be really nice to have something tangible and to have something legitimate to hang on to. You know, we know how much, we don't know the actual dollar figure. We know lots of money was made in the playoffs and at the end of the season. Like, I just don't understand why you just don't throw a bone at big market. You had 13 million viewers for the playoff game. Why not just, like, what is $25 million a year at the end of the day?
All right, wait a sec. You're rambling here. What is the budget you want?
I'd say probably around like 165.
Okay, yeah. What's the budget for this year?
Probably 140.
Based on what?
Based on last year. Based on, well, we don't know, right?
Well, exactly. So, I mean, you can rant all you want, but the truth of the matter is we don't know what the budget is. What's the point of a rant when you don't know what they're going to spend? We have no indication. The Chavez deal is non-impactful. The Hap deal is a little more than half of what Burley made last year. And maybe a third of what it would cost to get Price if he winds up going to the Boston Red Sox and they have said they will pay 30 or 40 million more. He might be the first $40 million pitcher. So patience. Let's wait and see what happens here. You can't make assessments on Shapiro, on the organization or the budget or direction or anything else until you see the final product. And we aren't going to see that until at least January and probably February. Keith in Mississauga, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine.
I remember way back they asked Pat Gillick what kind of a player would he choose, and he said an everyday player. And I was just thinking, at spring training, Ryan Goins, we always said he couldn't hit, but, you know, he came around pretty not bad. But Pennington, who has left the staff, but I thought maybe with his arm, give him a shot in the bullpen, you know, or see what he can do. And Pennington, when he came in, when the score was 14-0, they said that this pitcher could throw four pitches. Now, since he's gone, we'll never know if he could, but I was always, that'd be an interesting thought to see if he could ever pitch. And the one other question, a couple of them, I got a brain cramp with the guy's name, but he used to throw from down under. And I always wanted to get close to him and ask him if he ever tried a knuckler on that one. And our knuckleballer, I always wanted to try and get close to him and ask him if he ever threw a sidearm knuckler or a down under knuckler and see what would happen to it.
I don't know the answer to any of those questions. I thank you, though. Dickey is the guy you're thinking of, who is the knuckleball pitcher. I've never seen anybody throw a submarine knuckleball. I've never thought about anybody throwing a submarine knuckleball. I'll have to give it more time. Let it cook for a little while in my brain. And the rest of what you said, I didn't understand. Ben in Guelph, hello.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
Good, good. Yeah, submarine knuckleball is kind of funny. I can't see them having too much control there, but that's not why I called. There's a lot of negativity, like you had said, about a lot of these, you know, your typical Toronto fan calling in and commenting about how, you know, we just signed Hap, so basically the world's going to come to an end and blah, blah, blah. But on the positive side, tell me if I'm wrong, but we've always been able to hit Price rather well. So having him even play for Boston or anywhere else in the American League is kind of a plus side for us. It's bad that
I don't really want to. I mean, look, I'm not going to go that far. David Price is a great pitcher. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher. I would rather face almost anybody else than David Price, whether the team has had success or not. So look, not having David Price isn't going to be helpful. The one thing you might want to hope is if the Blue Jays are not going to re-sign him, and I suspect they won't, but I've suspected that since the day they got him. You want to hope something? Hope he goes to the National League and he doesn't wind up with the Boston Red Sox. Because David Price will be good with Boston, you know, and that is a team, of all the teams in the American League East, I think that's the team the Blue Jays will have to watch. Now, they may lay another egg, but they played much better in the second half. They have a pretty good group of young players. Boston would be my pick to battle the Blue Jays for the American League East. So do I want David Price to go there? No. And Boston's clear weakness is pitching, and especially starting pitching, although their bullpen's not that much better. Mike and Maple, hello.
Hey, hi, Bob. How are you doing?
First time caller. Thank you.
Just want to say, first of all, that I'm happy with the Hap signing and the Estrada re-signing and Chavez. I think we are on the right line. But what I want to talk about is I'm from Cuba, and I love baseball, and I've been following baseball since I was 5 back in the country.
Yep.
And how come the Blue Jays don't try to go after all those Cuban players that are defecting? And
well, they may. I mean, they have pursued some. I don't think there's no anti-Cuban sentiment, certainly, in the organization.
I agree with you.
I think it's much more attractive for a Cuban-born and raised player to aspire to go to America rather than Canada. Not that they think anything negatively of Canada, but they think of Canada as cold and snow and whatever. And many Americans think of that. And they also understand that there is a big Latin American constituency in the United States. Certainly in South Florida, there are many Cubanos, as you well know. In Southern California, it's mostly former Mexicans. But nonetheless, Spanish-speaking people, they don't perceive there to be a Cuban culture in Toronto. And there probably isn't a big one. It's fairly small. You could tell me more than any other. But I think, sorry, say again?
Hamilton is the biggest Cuban population in Canada.
Yeah, there you go. I would say to you that once all political barriers are crossed, once relationships between the United States and Cuba are completely normalized, and they're in the process of that, it has not yet happened. Once players can leave Cuba of their own and come back and forth of their own free will, in other words, come to North America, play in the major leagues, and we're talking a relative handful of players, you understand, but still, once those players can leave Cuba to play in the National League, and then go back during the offseason to be with their families, don't have to defect, we will see what strategy the Blue Jays take, whether they have any extraordinary interest. We understand, Florida Marlins, Tampa Bay Rays, New York Yankees, because there's a significant Cuban population in greater New York. They may get most of the free agents, but how long will they be free agents? Will we see a time when Cuban-born players will be in the draft? And I don't have the answer to that. I thank you for the call, though. 26 minutes past the hour. Let's take the break. All baseball so far. We'll come back with more when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more great sports talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Golden 25 before the hour, Primetime continues. Bob Nicholson, CEO, Vice Chair of the Oilers Entertainment Group, in studio in about a half an hour from now. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, Greg Zahn of Sportsnet, Paul Jones, Raptors analyst, all coming up. Meanwhile, back to your phone calls. Sam in North York, hello.
Hi, good afternoon, Bob.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you or ask you to address the one thing that doesn't get talked about with the Jays revenue, and as a result of the revenue, which you say determines how much the budget is the fact that there's no tangible media and television rights deal that most of the other, big market teams that spend a lot of money consistently year after year, they have, and you can see those numbers, that Rogers, who owns the team, and you've mentioned before it's left pocket, right pocket, but that actually really does matter because that's a major, major source of revenue. And when you tell us that last year, the Jays, lost $18 million on operating, their operating, profit, loss, whatever it is. Does that take into account how much money they made on the media side?
Yes.
And if it doesn't, because they're, sort of paying themselves or maybe not paying themselves as much as they should, whatever fair market value is, I mean, can't you then say that putting the money into the other pocket of Rogers, but not having Rogers recognize it, as having a boost, to that pocket, and therefore they should spend more, or it would justify more spending. I mean, could you just address that?
Well, you're being presumptuous in suggesting a lot of things. First of all, the loss, you said $18 million. I don't know what it exactly was 2014. No numbers have been released for 2015. I would suspect the Blue Jays were profitable in 2015. What I am confident in telling you is that the two parties, to wit, the Blue Jays and Rogers, operate as individual entities when it comes to negotiating rights deals. Having said that, you are right, and I am right, in saying it's a left-pocket, right-pocket deal. Does Rogers pay for the rights to carry games on Sportsnet? Answer, yes. That money goes into the Blue Jays' total revenue. Do they get what they would on a in an open market system? No way to know. Absolutely no way to know. The radio rights are paid by the fan to the Blue Jays on an annual basis. Is it left pocket, right pocket? Yes, it is. Would somebody else pay more for the radio rights? No way to know. But there is an understanding that as best they can figure what the market would bear, that's what they pay. Does that impact their ability to operate effectively? Or more accurately, perhaps, as you're suggesting or implying, would they do better if they sold those rights to a third party? And I'm afraid I can't answer that question. There's no way to know that. There's no way to know if there would even be another bidder. I would assume so. Would another broadcaster from time to time inquire about the rights? They might. Would somebody be prepared to pay tangibly more for those rights than either Sportsnet or the fan pays? I can't answer. You'll have to theorize that yourself. Jay in North York, hello.
Oh, hey, Bob. Last week, you were saying something like, or someone was asking about price, and I think you said something to the effect of, like, why does Toronto need price? And Toronto doesn't need price. Any pitcher of good caliber would be welcome here. The reason that I think price is a big discussion, at least from my opinion, is because I moved here in 94. I cannot recall when was the last time a number one free agent pitcher was so enamored with the city and vice versa that he actually really wanted to come to Toronto, compounded by the fact that the stars are aligned. Bautista and Encarnacion are both making far less than market value. I don't know, maybe half. Donaldson's far less than market value. Your number one starter now, Stroman, and your top two relievers are making the league minimum. The stars are aligned at this moment to do something, because when I look at the Blue Jays, and let's say right now they're 130 or 140 million, the actual value of the team is probably over 200 million because, like I say, you have all these good contracts, and I don't think there's a bad one. Tulowitzki at 20 million isn't a bad contract, and Martin is probably worth whatever he's getting paid. So when this time ends, whether they get maybe they won't get a Price or a Greinke or one of those guys. It doesn't look like they are. We're going to look back and say, wow, what if? And if they do sign a free agent, and if we do end up paying year 4 and 5 or 5 and 6 for a guy who's over the hill, which we're doing with Hap, by the way, I don't know about you, but I would be very happy if the Blue Jays made another run or two to the pennant and lost for 4 or 5 years to rebuild, because it's been a long, long time. And I just don't see the opportunity ever being as great, at least since I moved to this
city. Well, I thank you for that. You're entitled to that viewpoint. Hap, I don't think, is the least bit over the hill. But you got him on a 3-year contract. You're not going to get Price at 3 years. I've said before, I would offer Price a 4-year contract with a 2-year walk away. I don't know whether they have. I don't know whether they will. I don't know whether he's even on their radar. Don't know. We may never know. Most of the baseball insiders say it's very unlikely the Blue Jays will sign David Price. Here's one thing I do know. Nobody from the Blue Jays or Rogers has mentioned David Price. Not a mention. Now, that may mean absolutely nothing, but I will tell you this. Historically, when a team is quiet about somebody, it generally means they have interest. It may not in this case, but as a general rule, you can take that to the bank. So I don't have an opinion on whether the Blue Jays will or will not have or have not made an offer to David Price, are interested in him. But this notion that, you know, they've got all these players at under market value is nice, except there's still a budget. We don't know what that is. We assume it's in the $140 million range, but it might be $160, it might be $180, we don't know. We just don't know what the parameters are. And so I go back to something I've said two or three times already this hour. Rather than make broad statements about where this team is or what they have done, it is much better to wait and see what, if anything, they do between now and spring training. Because I don't believe they're done. I don't know whether they go and get a $5 million starting pitcher or a $30 million starting pitcher. Not a clue. But I don't think they're done. I don't think the acquisition of Chavez and Happ solves their problems sufficiently or their needs sufficiently. I don't know what else to tell you. Jay in Trenton, hello.
How are you doing, Bob?
All right.
Good. I'm just down the road from Bayside Golf and Country Club. You remember that place?
No.
You played your first pro tournament there.
Oh, what's it called?
Bayside Golf and Country Club.
I thought it was something else. What did it used to be called? Was it called something else?
Oh, not that I can recall now, but right on the Bay of Quinte, right?
Yeah, Bay of Quinte. That's what I thought it was called.
Oh, maybe it is Bay of Quinte. That's right, it is.
Yeah, it is Bay of Quinte.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to switch gears. My question is not going to require a crystal ball either. I watched the bit of the Leafs game the other night. I'm not a Leafs fan, but I was just couldn't believe my eyes when I tuned in halfway through the second period and all of the platinum seats behind the benches were empty.
Well, I don't know what you expect. I mean, they're a crappy hockey team. They don't produce an entertaining product.
And they don't aspire
to be anything.
Understood. And that's not really my angle. I agree with everything you're saying there, but I'm thinking, why don't these corporate these companies and the suits at MLSE figure out a way to get some of these kids that can't get to the games into those seats if they're
It's a very nice idea. I've heard it before, right. But it's difficult to exercise. It really is. You know, you're talking about individuals and corporations who hold those seats and have held them for years. People make decisions, generally speaking, few hours before game time. Are we going? Are we not going? You know, you have to make a commitment days, even weeks ahead of time in order to put some kind of system in place that would allow others to do that. It would be nice if Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment instituted a policy or a program that would allow season ticket holders to donate their tickets that they aren't going to use back to the club, who could then disseminate them for free to those, you know, put some kind of a system in place. Have a list of people who, I don't know whether you apply or what you do. It would be nice to have that kind of a system. To the best of my knowledge, that doesn't exist, though. And so the seats sit empty. I know I have no interest in going. I can't imagine. I understand there are people out there, kids out there, who will never be able to afford to go to games. I couldn't afford to go when I was a kid. The tickets are nowhere near what they are now, even in a relative sense. It's an interesting thought. Maybe somebody from MLSE already has considered it. Dean in Oakville, hello.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment about the Blue Jays starting rotation. Uh-huh. I don't think, unless we sign one of Price or Greinke, I don't think we should be taking flyers on guys that are left over in the pool, because all that's really left is like Wee and Chen and Samardzija. But the biggest thing that I would like to see done is not, instead of signing one of those guys to help fill a roster spot later on in the season, I kind of want to see them make a move for Steven Strasburg, because we all know he's in the last year of his contract in Washington.
Well, it's a name that we brought up a few times on the program. I don't know what Washington's ask would be. I don't know whether they I would think they would have some interest in moving him, but I don't know that for sure. You know, they lose Zimmerman. To lose Strasburg as well would put a big dent in their starting rotation. One that would probably not replaceable. It's a thought. It's a good thought. It is one I've had and other people have had. It's the kind of move that I expect the organization, and I'm not as negative on Chen as a matter of fact as you are, but that's okay. But that kind of move, yes, I think we're going to see something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Blue Jays were talking to the Mets. The Mets still need offensive help. The Mets have many good young starting pitchers. I am told that the trade talks are as active as they have been in a long time. I think there are lots of things out there, and I would expect the Blue Jays to be reasonably active. Something else will happen. You may not like it, or you may go, wow. But what you see right now, and fans are constantly guilty of this, evaluating based on the first move the club makes. Now, I know technically it's the second one. The Chavez move is so insignificant, nobody really even talked about it. Just wait. Let's see what happens. Dale in Kitchener, hello.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, you got about a minute and a half here.
Yeah, no, love your show. I want to talk about James Reimer. Back when Carlisle was coaching, he was very predominant about, you know, calling Reimer out for his less than great play. And I'm wondering if you think that maybe with Babcock behind the bench, Reimer's gotten that boost and feeling more positive now that Bernie is playing like garbage. And the other thing that I wanted to know is, what do you think with Lupo out, are the Leafs going to start trying to make some moves, or are we still talking long five-year plan and sit on it this year and worry about it next?
Well, they're trying to raise the profile and the asset value of all of their players so they can move them. I don't think anybody is absolutely unmovable, although most would say Riley would be the one guy. I think it's clear that the Maple Leafs are dissatisfied with their goaltending situation. I think it's clear they don't think of James Reimer as a number one. I'm not sure any team would think of James Reimer as a number one. And it's not because Reimer hasn't been given opportunities. I know they have been occasional, but he has had runs as the number one goaltender, and generally his play can best be described as mediocre. In a league where goaltending is so critical, mediocre is not what you aspire to. And again, I'm not saying that James Reimer is a bad goaltender by any stretch of the imagination, but he's not among the elite. He's not the kind of guy you go out and get to be a number one. You're quite satisfied to have him as your backup. But as you said, the way Bernier has played, one of the needs that the Maple Leafs have, unless one of the younger guys can step in, you're going to see one of them tonight, is a number one goaltender. They are not easy to acquire. There are very few great ones, and the Maple Leafs don't have one. I don't know if that answered your question or not. I forgot what the question was. Bob Nicholson, the CEO, vice chair of the Oilers, will join us in studio. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe as well this hour. Then Zahn and Jones later. This is Primetime. Stick around.